Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right. Yes, Freedom Friday is here. Another week has gone by. Man, time flies sometimes. You know, before you know it, what you had to do is behind schedule. You know, but God is good. God is good. We are in the book of Luke, chapter 7 this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, Father God, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Father God, for being here with us, for waking us up this morning, oh Lord God. And I pray, oh Lord God, that it will be you that speaks and not me, Father. I pray that you will touch your people, Father. You know their needs. You know what they're going through, Father God. So meet their needs according to your riches and glory, Father. And again, I just thank you. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Stretch if you need to. Okay, we got 50 verses, another long one. So here we go. Luke chapter 7. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they have come to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that one of whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he has already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well, who had been sick. Verse 11, and it happened that day after that he went into the city, Capernaum, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. When he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented himself to his mother. Then the fear came upon all, and they glorify God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions. 18. Then the disciple of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the man had come to him and said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour, he cured many infirmities, affliction. He cured many infirmities and afflictions and evil spirits, and many blind have sight. Jesus said to them, "Go, tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are risen, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." 24. And when the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed second by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are graciously appealed and live in luxury are king's court. But what do you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, this is of whom it is written, "Behold, I sent my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I be likened to the man of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We play the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourn to you, and you did not weep.'" 33, "For John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at the glutton and the wine biter, of a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is justified by all her children." 36, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat and ate. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, and who knew that Jesus sat at the table at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster glass flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears and wiping them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Then the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who is and what manner of a woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing for which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave the more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I enter your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with the tears and wiped them with the hair on her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, and she loved much. But to the whom little is given, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen and amen and amen. Woo, got through all that reading. You know, the book of Luke, you know, it's believed that Luke himself was the writer of this book. The purpose of this particular book, it was to focus on the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. That is the focus. And this particular chapter, 7, is broken up into 4 different stories. Jesus heals the centurion's servant, verses 1 to 10. Jesus raises the son of the widower, verses 11 to 17. John the Baptist sends his messengers to Jesus, verses 18 to 35. And a sinful woman forgiven, verses 36 to 50. When I was reading this, I chose to concentrate on one of the stories. And the story that I'm concentrating on is the sinful woman forgiven in verse 36. And it says that then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to come and eat with him. So Jesus was going about, you know, he was doing his ministry, and this Pharisee approached him and he invited him to his house. He invited him to his house. And they went into the house in verse 36, and he sat down to eat. You know, why was he invited? You know, it's unclear. It was unclear. You know, it could have been that this Pharisee wanted to learn more about Jesus. But on the other hand, he could have been trying to entrap him in one of the sayings that Jesus was going to do. You know, so we really don't know. And then he says in verse 37, and behold, a woman, you know, in the city who was a sinner. You know, so it starts off, you know, with this woman, you know, comes in and she's a sinner, number one. You know, when she knew that Jesus was at the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. So we know that she's a woman, we know that she's a sinner, and she knew that Jesus was in the house. And she said, and it says that she came and brought an alabaster flask of oil. This woman came prepared to worship the Lord. This woman came prepared. She was probably not, and I'm sure she wasn't invited because she was a sinner, according to this chapter. But yet again, she came in, and in verse 38, it says, and she stood at the feet of Jesus behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with the tears and wiping them with her hair. So she started to do all this, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with oil. A few things to know about this is that the custom back then is not like we have today. You know, they didn't have a table. They didn't have all these chairs, you know, so they weren't sitting around a long table that you normally see, or a round table. You know, they're normally laid at their side, you know, with their head facing whatever food was prepared before them. Their feet was always, they were always in position away from the table, because their feet will always be dirty unless they were washed, you know, so that was their custom. So when it says there that that she came and she was behind him, you know, it was because she was coming behind where his feet were at, you know, so she was facing his back and he was facing the food. And she began to do this. She began to worship him, you know, and her worship, you know, came from the heart. And she didn't ask for permission, because I'm sure if she would have gone to the master of the house and say, hey, I want to do X, Y, Z, he probably would have kicked her right out. You know, he probably would have kicked her right out. but she came with purpose. True worship will cost you something. True worship will cost you something. In John 12, verses 3, he talks a little bit about this alabaster flask. And he says, you know, one of the disciples says, why was this fragrant not sold for 300 denarius and gave to the poor? You know, and back and 300 denarius, that was a lot of money back then. It says that 300 denarius was around the wages of one person per year. So I did some research. What is 300 denarius today? What the value of it? Well, today the value of 300 denarius was between $40,000 and $54,000. You know, that was the average wage for a year. So you imagine that she came in with this flask, you know, and she came and she went to worship the Lord. And she started to do this. Now, somehow she heard about Jesus. Somehow she knew about Jesus because she came with the intentions of worshiping the Lord. Who gave her the idea of bringing the oil? I believe the Holy Spirit must administer to her, must have put this in her head and said, this is what you need to do. So she felt peace. She felt a desire to worship the Lord, you know, and so that takes me to understand that, you know, when you go before the Lord, when we enter the house of the Lord, what is our intention? You know, when we come to serve, what is our intention? I believe that our first intention is to glorify God, is to give God the praise and the glory. And that's what she started to do. She didn't care who was watching. She didn't care who was there. She just started to weep before him, You know, and that just brings thoughts to my mind about, you know, we never know what people are going through, you know, and why do they worship the way they worship? And why do they serve God the way they serve God? And while they're a little bit radical before the Lord, because you don't know the story, you don't know what they've been through. And some of us, we've been through a lot. So we are grateful and we become, you know, that worshiper that just wants to worship the Lord and thank the Lord, you know, and express themselves to the Lord. And that's what this woman was doing. Yes, she was a sinner, but somehow she was touched by the Lord. Somehow she was driven and somehow she brought that alabaster flask, you know, which was very expensive, fragrant, and she started to worship. And she started to worship the Lord. And guess what? And anytime you do something out of the ordinary, anytime you're a little bit different, people will always talk. That's a common thing. In verse 39, it says, and when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself. In other words, he thought this. He was thinking this. He said, spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman is this that is touching him. So he's already thinking all this. You know, how dare she? You know, she's here and she's doing this. You know, God always looks at the heart. You know, man always looks at the exterior. You know, God is always looking at the heart. You know, and man wants to judge. Man always wants to judge. Man always wants to condemn. And we have to be careful. We got to be careful. 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Where was her heart at? Her heart was to worship the Lord. Her heart was to wash his feet, you know, and all that. In Matthew 7:1-2, it says, judge not lest you be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. It's talking about not to be judging. So if I worship the Lord a little bit radical, you know, that's me worshiping the Lord, you know, and I don't care who's watching. I don't care what you think, because this is between me and the Lord. It is my worship to the Lord. It is my praise to the Lord. And I choose to raise my hands. I gotta move away from people when I worship the Lord, because I get carried away. You know, my hands are doing all this number. It's because I am grateful. I want to worship him. I want to raise my hands and give him praise. Why? Because worship is so critical. Worship is when we break the barriers, you know, where we break strongholds. Because when we worship God, we're proclaiming, we're declaring, we're decreeing before the Lord. We are lifting up our hands, and our voices are producing. I believe that our voices are echoing, and the enemy has to flee. The enemy has to run away. The enemy doesn't want to hear your praise. The enemy doesn't want to hear your worship. But when we are honestly worshiping and praising God, you know, and we are declaring this before the Lord, we are preparing the atmosphere for the word that's going to come in a few moments when the word is being taught. So therefore, you know, worship is so important. That's why when we come to worship the Lord, when we are in that time of worship, is so critical. So critical that we come before the Lord, that we worship him. The Lord wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Come on now, in spirit and in truth. And that's why, you know, I love to worship. I'm the radical guy. I can get lost sometimes. Sometimes I'll take off. Sometimes I like to run. I love running. Why? Because I just feel God's presence. I just feel that anointing. You know, and sometimes I could be sitting down and, you know, and my feet are going like this on the ground because I just feel that presence of God, that presence of God. I am driven to praise him. I am driven. And if I become loud at times, I'm sorry. Just move away. This is between me and him. This is not a conversation that requires any opinion that you may have. Come on, I'm being real. I'm just going to worship him. I'm just going to praise him. And I praise him in the spirit. And I praise him with my tongues. I praise him in songs, even though I cannot sing. Come on now, I cannot sing. But, you know, I'll praise him. Because why? Because my worship towards him, he receives it as an aroma. And that's why this perfume that was spread on Jesus' feet, this fragrant, you know, that's a sweet aroma. And that's the way our praise and our worship should be for the Lord, that he inhales our worship and praise. He inhales our worship as we lift up our hands and worship him. And that's why when I was reading this and I was looking at the actions of this particular woman and all that she was doing, she could have been stoned at that moment because, you know, they consider her a sinner. She could have been just dragged out of the house and thrown out there. But she came with a purpose. If we come with a purpose to worship the Lord, I'll be expecting miracles to take place. I'll be expecting deliverance to take place. And I don't even think I have to lay my hands on anybody, because that anointing will be so tangible that you will feel it, so tangible that whole place will be filled. And I wouldn't even need a smoke machine to bring that feeling. It will be the Holy Ghost fire that is in that place because of the praise and because of the worship. And that's why it's so important what this woman did. She was giving us an example of true worship, that she humbled herself before the Lord. She knew who she was. She didn't care who was watching. She put her life on the line, I believe, because when she came and she fumbled herself into that place, and she threw herself at his feet and just started to weep and just started to wash his feet. I'm sure that she was humble. Because why? Because she received something from Jesus. She received something. She saw something. Jesus spoke to her somehow, some way, you know. And it's not giving us a lot of details, but they just continue to call her the sinful woman, you know. That's what they're calling her. But yet again, she humbled herself and she was worshiping the Lord, and she was praising the Lord in that action. And here the man wants to say, if he only knew You know, and Jesus answered in verse 40, he said, and said, Simon, I have something to say to you, because the Lord saw his heart. The Lord already knew what he was thinking, you know, because he doesn't say that he spoke this outward. He said this to himself, Simon, you know, the man. And Jesus says, I know what you were thinking, pretty much. And then Jesus went and did a story, you know, and he said there was a certain creditor who had people that owed him, you know, one owed him 500 denarius. Wow, that's more than a year's salary. You know, 500 denarius, another one 50, you know, and they both had no money to pay back. They both had nothing to pay back. So there was a time that they owe this money, and guess what? And the creditor decided he freely forgave their debt. Which one of them was more grateful? And Simon said, I believe the one who owed the most, well, the woman was a sinner. She sinned a lot, you know, but yet she was grateful for what the Lord has done for her, for his presence, because his presence have touched her heart. His presence has changed her life. His presence was there, you know, and it's ironic as, you know, as we read this and we see this woman that at the end of the chapter, Jesus is forgiving her, your sins are forgiven, and saying all these things. But before all that took place, she was already worshiping. She was already praising. She wasn't waiting for Jesus to give her the word. She was already doing. She was already worshiping at his feet. She was already anointing him. And Jesus himself said in other chapters, you know, she was anointing him for burial. She was preparing him. You know, she was doing what Simon didn't do. Simon didn't wash his feet. Simon didn't give him oil. Simon didn't clean him up, you know. But this woman, a sinner, bowed before the Lord and washed his feet and worship him. When we come before the Lord, my brothers and sisters, and when we truly worship God, breakthrough will take place. Breakthrough will start to happen, because when we worship God and we raise our hands, we are releasing whatever we've been carrying. We're saying, Lord, here it is. You know, when we say, Lord, I praise you and I thank you, in the midst of problems, in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of hardship, you know, in the midst of lack, when we can worship God and be grateful to the Lord, that honors him. Because that is a sacrifice of praise. And when we do that, and when we, because we want to just get closer to him, you know, he receives it as a sweet aroma, as a sweet smell. Why? Because he loves our praises. He loves our worship. And this woman was really put herself out there that she could have been killed. But yet again, she went all the way. She went all the way. And the Lord acknowledged her. And at the end of this thing, you know, he told us that your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. So important that we come with the right posture when we come before the Lord, when we come to church. And I'm saying this because sometimes when we get to church, you know, we all busy. We all have our assignments. You know, we working in the calf, We work in, you know, as elders, as ushers, you know, we're cleaning, we're doing this, we're inviting the people, we're shaking hands, we're doing all these things. We got to remember that when we come to the house of the Lord, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts and we worship the Lord. We don't just work, but we got to take that time. Pastor Brennan always says, you serve one and you sit one, you know, you always got to be fed. You always have to take that time and worship the Lord and draw closer to the Lord. And that's so important. Why? Because that's when you have that one-on-one with the Lord. That's when you are declaring who the Lord is. That's when you are raising your hands. And that's when you're saying, Lord, I love you. Have you told the Lord you love him this morning? Just a question, you know. Just a question, have you given that Lord that moment that you say, Lord, I come before you? Help me, guide me, direct me, show me the way, Lord. Lord, I praise you for waking me up this morning. I praise you that I was able to get up this morning by my own 2 feet and do what I needed to do. I was able to feed myself. Lord, I thank you. Yeah, you know, yeah, my bones at the rattle at times. Yeah, my feet want to give up on me. When I get out of bed, I'm not jumping up and down like a rabbit. I'm very slow. But then once I get going, woo, well, you can't stop me, right? Because I get all lubricated. You know, I'm moving. But you know what? When we come before the Lord and when we release worship, when we release praise, when we said, I thank you for last night. I thank you for bringing me through. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my home. And we start praising God and we start worshiping the Lord. Guys, guess what? The room that you're in is going to be filled with the glory of God. The place that you're in fills with the glory of God. And that's why breakthrough will come. That's why the enemy can't stand praise, can't stand worship. So worship God, praise God. Put on worship and praise music in your house. You know, put it out a little bit loud. That way the enemy definitely can hear it then. And you can worship God and you can praise God and you can declare the presence of God and God will be there with you. I remember when I was back in the military and I used to go to, and I say I worked sometimes in a hostile environment because, you know, there's always negative people. There's always people that are there with positions that shouldn't even be there. But I was there and I had to make a difference that I would go into work. You know, and I will walk through the shop before the people get there. And I say, Lord, fill this place up with your presence. Fill this place up with your presence. Give me favor this morning, Father. Give me the words that I need to say. Help me to say what I need to say and keep my mouth shut when I need to keep it shut. Because there are times that we have to sip it. If you're not going to praise, don't say nothing. If you're not going to glorify God, say nada, okay? Say nada, because life and death in the power of the tongue. So we have to make sure that we say the right thing. So I used to go there and I used to bring up a praise, you know, before the Lord. And even though I was going through some hard times back then, you know, God was still on the move, you know, and I was able to minister and I was able to pray with people and I was able to comfort hearts that were broken. And I did all this. You know, within the military, you know, in there, I knew people would be talking, but I couldn't care. I didn't care because I was pleasing the Lord. I was bringing life. And guess what? All the people that have something negative to say about me, I end up ministering to them before they retire, before they left. Because I was there for 39 years. I saw them coming and I saw them leaving. So I was definitely there to be able to minister to them. And that's what happens when we worship the Lord, when we praise God in the middle of the storm, when we glorify him, things will change. Things will happen. So my brothers and sisters, when you come before the Lord, when you come into the house of worship, make sure you take that moment to be grateful and thank the Lord. Yes, we're busy, but don't forget to thank him. Don't forget to praise him. And said, Lord, I praise you. I worship you in the midst of this. I glorify. I was there yesterday morning, I was setting up the baptism in Cumberland County. Normally I do that first thing in the morning and because I'm up. I was up. So around 6 o'clock, I was at the church putting the baptism together. That's my time. Sorry, I'm up. Early riser. Let's make it happen. So as I'm putting that up, I'm just praising God. I'm just worshiping the Lord. Lord, for the lives that are going to come in, for the lives that are going to be touched. Lord, you know, it's just like building the temple, setting it up, you know, it's for the glory of God. And we praise God. We praise God with what we do, with our hands, with our feet, with our mouths. We worship him and we glorify him. And I said, for the lives that are going to be touched, Father, fill this place. Fill this place. And that's my prayer. My prayer that the anointing of God will be so prevalent in the church that people will be slain in the spirit as they come in. That is my prayer. That is my prayer, that people will be healed even before they enter in those doors, in the parking lot, that people will be touched in the parking lot. And that is the presence of God. That is the anointing of God. And that's the anointing that comes down when we worship him. When we raise up our praises to him, his presence comes down and fills the house. Just like that aroma of that fragrant, you know, oil that raised up from the house, that same presence of the Lord will fill the house. And I'm expecting, my brothers and sisters, I'm expecting that even the fire department will be called in, because there'll be such an anointing of God in the church that it will look like the house is on fire. But yet again, it's just the presence of God. It's the anointing of God. And that is for today, my brothers and sisters. That is something that has never left the church. That is the Holy Spirit. So my brothers and sisters, I pray that you receive a little something today on this. I pray that God would just continue to shine himself upon you and guide you, that God would just show you the direction that you need to take. But let's not forget to worship him. Let's not forget to praise him like this individual was doing as she was praising God. And at the end of this chapter, the Lord said, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Amazing, amazing how she was just worshiping the Lord. And now she's hearing the words of your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. True worship is from the heart. True praise is from the heart. So spend that time. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. And you shall have your breakthrough. Your breakthrough is around the corner. Your breakthrough is around the corner. Create it, declare it, say it. Say it verbally. Lord, I thank you for my answer prayer. I thank you for my deliverance. I thank you for answering this prayer, this petition, whatever it may be. Be grateful and already start thanking him in advance. Because as you thank him in advance, you're preparing for what's going to happen later. It might be around the corner. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. But it's coming, says the Lord. It's coming. It's coming. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word is alive. Father, your word will always produce. Your word will always produce, Father God, what it's sent out to do. So I thank you for hearing us. I thank you for answering our prayers, Father. I thank you for waking us up this morning. I thank you for this day, Father. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We worship you. We exalt your name. Hallelujah. Because you are faithful, God. You are a compassionate and merciful God. And I am grateful to you, Father, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, Father God, and know what is to come, Father God. We give you the praise this morning. We give you the worship this morning. We give you the worship, Father. Receive it this morning. And I thank you. I thank you for our breakthrough. I thank you for our breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen. All right, guys. Have a blessed weekend. You know, hope to see some of you this weekend. I know we're doing baptisms. Come on, come on. You know, so let's get ready to see what the Lord has for us. Have a blessed day. Keep your focus, keep your focus, keep your focus. Love you, love you, love you. See, this is what I do. See, call me crazy, call me wild, but that's what I do. So love you guys. Have a good weekend. God bless.